What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, so yesterday, so we had Jake Vonick in, and then we posted a clip online, and the clip was me just being astounded. In fact, in thinking about the topic a little bit later on, I think I sideswiped Jake just a little bit. I don't think he was prepared for me to, I didn't come at him, but for me to be like, nothing's changed.
Right.
So the topic was, in case you're just joining us and you didn't hear it yesterday at all, was why is Jake soured on Shador Sanders? And he tried giving me this whole entire reason and the thinking behind why he had soured on Shador, and I hit him with the, we haven't played any football. Like, there's no way you should be soured on Shador Sanders. If you like Shador Sanders before the season got underway, or if you liked him, before the draft process even got underway, and then all during the draft process you liked him, nothing should have changed there, G.
No throws. There's been no throws, and the throws he has thrown, it's been widely popularized and widely seen that he looks pretty good. Guys are like, hey, you made some throws last week. If you ask me who's going to probably start, people say Joe Flacco, and he'd probably be the guy that's going to start, you know, most ready to start. But by all people's eyes, Shador hasn't gone out there and thrown a bunch of interceptions and looked crazy.
If anything, I think he's earned some fans throughout this entire process.
Yes. What I started to think about was, because that same thing kind of, hit me too. As you were saying that, I was considering, like, what is that? You know, that is weird. Why is it that when we talk about, you know, the quarterbacks and Shador Sanders, there seems to be something that is not revolved around actual action on the field? Like, it's like, you know, we use things like he's a fifth-round pick or he slid in the draft or any of that. And I always thought that, you know, yeah, that's great. He's a fifth-round pick, but once you get here, it's about evaluating what he does in your jersey, right?
Exactly.
And I thought about it, and I tried to figure out why a lot of people think that way. And I had to go back and say, the Browns haven't won anything since 1989. They haven't even won a division since 89.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember us talking about
the year I was born.
We used to talk about that on the pregame and postgame shows all the time. And what happens is there is a level of maturity that the media and the fan base gets to when you're covering or watching a team that has success, because you get to experience all the levels of maturity. You get to go from, hey, we drafted this guy. We saw what a successful quarterback looks like. We got a coach in here. We see what a successful coach looks like. We go through the process of saying, okay, well, now we're building, putting guys around. We lost in the first round. Oh, wow. Listen, we overachieved this year.
It's like, it's the crawl to walk to run. I mean, you're basically describing a childhood, right? You're from birth to then a toddler to then, hey, you're in fifth grade, and then now all of a sudden you're in high school and then you're graduating college.
There it is. And so when all those fan bases, as they talk about certain things, they have of acquired knowledge of being around that team. So they know different points. And there's a maturity of the conversation what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. When you see the Chiefs, they're talking about nuances to the offense. They're talking about tweaking this here or there. They're not talking about whether somebody is good, period.
Yeah, they have daily conversations about their left tackle.
There it is. Things that are not overarching thing. They don't have, hey, do we have the right owner? Do we have the right coach? Can we find a quarterback?
Yeah, because their main pieces are all in place.
They're there.
And that's the fun part, by the way, when you get to that spot, is that you do get to focus in on some of the other things. It's almost a luxury at sorts.
Yes.
Like, could you imagine having a knock them out, drag them out conversation about the little things that Chiefs fans get to have? It's very different.
It's a very niche argument, and it's a very focused argument.
To be fair, though, I think some Chiefs fans might already be bored with that discussion, too. That's why some Chiefs fans, although they're blessed with a great, great opportunity with Mahomes and everything, they kind of miss the idea that, you know, because talking quarterbacks is fun. Talking about head coaches is fun. I like that type of stuff. And after 7 years, 10 years of that being in place, you do miss some of those discussions in a way.
It's just like, and so I came up with the analogy. I said it's like when you're in second grade, obviously you love gym. Obviously, like, you love drawing and recess, and you get snack time, and you even get to take naps sometimes.
I still like snack time.
Look, it's beautiful.
We're both sleep apnea brother in arms,
right.
So we don't have to worry. We don't have to worry about the naps anymore. Nuh-uh. We're taken care of.
And so you get this. If you're in second grade and you get held back again, and you're in second grade the next year,
yeah,
you start to rethink some things. Like, hold on.
Yeah.
Like, I this is cool, but I don't want to be in the gym class. I'm already bigger than everybody last year. I'm bigger than everybody now.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Cleveland Browns fan base, because there is no success, there is no growth, there is no other conversations with the media, it's we are perpetually living in second grade forever. And now we are sitting here, we're 18 years old, looking around with a bunch of little kids, and our conversation has not evolved. Our frame of reference has not evolved.
Mm.
You know how frustrating it is that we are sitting here, and all of us, not just me, not just you, nobody has seen winners. Go back to 89. The team left in 95. They've been terrible since 2000.
Yeah.
So the people who saw Bernie Kosar be good, God rest their soul, most of them are no longer here.
Mm-hmm.
When you lose Jim Donovan and Jim Brown, and you start to be like, man, there's guys. When Joe Thomas has to have a hip replacement, that just goes to show you've been watching the same level of football forever. So when you have the conversation about whether a guy is good or not, or why there's such wild conversations between it's Flacco, some people think it's Pickett, some people think Dylan Gabriel is better, some think it's Shador is better, no one knows who's going to start. Well, the reason you have that much variance is because we are all sitting here, and we don't have any context. We don't have any experience with winning and knowing what it looks like. Because those other teams know. When those other fan bases look, they like, oh, look, hey, the Eagles know what good looks like.
Yeah, yeah.
We are at a point where,
I mean, but we should be at a spot, though, where in quarterback play in particular, it shouldn't be too hard to figure out what's good and what isn't good. It should slap us in the face.
It should. But that's the problem. When you're think about it. Think if you're a bad relationship for years.
Mm-hmm.
And you meet somebody else, and you're like, hey, man, this person is really cool. But then you start thinking, you take all the baggage from the last relationship and bring it to this one. And now you can't even see the good qualities in a new person because the old baggage is already on.
Okay, so maybe this is where my perspective is a little bit different. Because I went from a couple bad relationships into then my wife, and I was like, oh, okay, this is how this is supposed to be. And it made me appreciate my wife even more because I'm like, oh, I didn't even know that it's supposed to be like this. This is pretty cool. This is fun. This is uplifting. This is supportive. I like this. And so, like, your eyes are almost wide open there.
So it smacks you in the face, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
So for me, I think when you look at the last three things, and this is where I come out on the Shador Sanders thing specifically.
Yeah.
The Deshaun Watson things was so bad for certain people. The Baker Mayfield thing was so disruptive for certain people.
Mm-hmm.
That everybody is just saying, no, I don't want to make no decision or nothing. Please smack me in the face and just show me.
Okay.
Make it obvious. Make me love you.
Yeah, make it obvious. Yeah.
And so I think that's why there's so many people at arm's length distance. Like,
so where was the hurt or where was the distrust happening there with Shador for some people over a stretch where he didn't play football, though? Because he said it wasn't the speeding. He said it wasn't the car incident. Wasn't anything to do with that. What happened in this 3 week stretch?
There is a level of, if you talk to people, and I think it's this, there's a level of them not understanding whether or not it's optimism or hype. You can be optimistic about somebody and not be hyping them.
Mm-hmm.
I can see Shador Sanders throw the ball well and say, man, I liked him at number 2 or number 33. if I liked him at 2 or 33, of course I'm going to be ecstatic and I got him in the fifth round. Yeah. I think he could be a franchise quarterback, and we got him for free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People assume that it's you just hyping him up because they don't think you know what a real quarterback is supposed to look like. They're saying it's hype. That it's hype. You hear a lot of people say it's hype, and you're like, no, it's not hype. I'm just optimistic, and I like what I'm actually seeing. It's a lack of people trusting their eyes and just saying, okay, he looks to be a quarterback that we can get some from. Let's go into the offseason and see what he can do. But even some of those people are not willing to even have that conversation.
Where's the doubt come in from some of those people, though, is what I'm trying to get to. Like, where exactly in the past 3-4 weeks, where did the doubt start to seep in? Like, I thought where you were going with this was the idea that in the past couple Browns quarterbacks, we've had off-field situations that have kind of made us just veer away, right? Deshaun obviously was glaring and obvious, mm-hmm. but even with Baker, people fell out of love with Baker. I still love Baker, but people fell out of love with Baker because of everything he did away from the field than what he did on the field. On the field, he was still pretty good quarterback, but away from the field, there was a couple things that popped up here and there. He was out partying. He was doing all these different things, and that's where people kind of moved away.
Well, I think people, if you say...
Like when no games have been played for Shedeur Sanders, no snaps have been actually seen, not even preseason snaps have been seen, how do you start to move off of them?
Well, his reputation precedes itself.
Is that what that was? Is that like confirmation? If you're like looking for any sort of way to think that he's a little silly or a little maybe not serious?
Immature, or maybe he's not the guy that you want. He's closely, in their mind, people would group him more with Manziel. They would group him more with Baker and Deshaun Watson, rather grouping him with Brian Hoyer.
And so these people then they know speeding wasn't as serious as everyone made it out to be.
No.
So they can't fall back on saying it was speeding, but subconsciously that obviously did a number on them.
Yeah, it's like you're looking for something, and it's just like, oh, hold on, I've been hurt before.
Oh, even the walls went up in this instance.
Yes, I've been hurt before.
So they know it wasn't a big deal, but they don't want to get hurt now.
I want to believe in you. But you're showing some things that I believed in another couple group of people, and they didn't get it done. So now I'm going to put at arm's length distance, and I'm going to – because people don't want to invest in something and not have anything to show for it. And that's the problem, because we have a lot of different factions in the fan base that have really invested emotionally, spiritually. There's people that still run around with Baker Mayfield jerseys, right? Uh-huh. And if you talk about it, they're going to be upset. There's guys that are running around that still think Deshaun Watson is going to come and play.
Yeah.
He's not coming back to play, dog.
No, and we might get into him a little bit later on, too. It's an interesting thought, and obviously we got a lot of time to dive into this. We got a whole bunch of show left. We're going to switch to the NBA, though. I want G. Bush's thoughts on LeBron. I want your thoughts as well. But someone that covers the Lakers, host of Buha's Block, Jovan Buha, is going to join us next right here on The Fan. We shift our attention to the Lakers and LeBron James right now as we go out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Jovan Buha, of course, of the Buha's Block, joining us here at 92.3 The Fan. Jovan, what's up today, man?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're good. We're trying to figure out, obviously, as many things as you're trying to figure out right now as well in relation to LeBron James. So it's been an interesting, I don't know, 72 hours or so. Obviously, we had Kurt Heelan and his report yesterday suggesting the Cavs not that interested in LeBron. But as we sit right now, how do you see this ending with LeBron and the Lakers?
I see this ending with him staying in LA. I think that's by far the most likely outcome right now. We have seen this playbook from LeBron before of applying public pressure to try to get his current team to upgrade the roster. And I think that is the most likely outcome here. Now, I will note, I think the one potential difference, if this does end up playing out a different way where he eventually asks out and ends up getting traded, is just that the finish line is in sight. Whether it's another year, another 2 years, maybe 3 years tops, although I think that's pretty unlikely. Like, the finish line is there for LeBron, and if he really wants to win a fifth championship, I think you can make a case that there are at least a handful of teams that would, that are ahead of the Lakers currently in the pecking order. And if he did go to a Cleveland or a New York or a Golden State or a Dallas, like, could that situation, depending on the pieces that those teams give up, potentially be a better one for him to compete for that fifth ring? So I think it really just comes down to what he wants, right? Because I think he's enjoyed playing in LA. He's enjoyed the off the court business ventures that he's had, and just like growing his roots there and his family being there. And I think that's a big element of you know, why he's remained despite them not always being the most competitive or you know, being a contender. But at this point, if he really wants to win a fifth ring, I think you can't argue that it would potentially make more sense to go somewhere else. So he opted in, he chose the money over the flexibility in terms of opting out and either signing somewhere or sign and trade or something like that. So he did show he wanted to retain that money, but now, you know, it just kind of comes down to, is he willing to actually demand out and potentially get traded for the first time in his career?
You know, Jovan, I was listening to a couple of days ago, and they had the podcast with him and Steve Nash, and you hear LeBron say, you know, it's not all about rings and why we have live in a ring culture. And he got eviscerated by everybody. Old people, young people, new NBA guys, old people. You know, they just was like, listen, you already know what this is. You're LeBron. You know how we judge this game. Is there something inside him that, because I think there's a lot of people that have seen that ring culture come, and I also believe that they've already moved people past him. There's, you know, Kobe Bryant untimely passed. There's a lot of people who are now mentioning Kobe Bryant as head of LeBron. Is there anything left in him that says, listen, if I can get me one more, I can move the needle on some of this conversation? Or do you think it's just at this point, he just only has a couple more years to go and he's just ready to ride it out in L.A.?
I think that's a really good question. I don't want to speak, obviously, for LeBron, but I think, I mean, he's wanted to win more championships. You know, he had obviously the run in the 2010s of the 8 straight finals and just having the misfortune of running into a juggernaut of a team, maybe the best team we've ever seen in that Warriors team in 2017 and 2018. And even, you know, in 2015 being banged up with Kevin Love and Kyrie. Then they pulled off the 3-1 comeback, of course, in 2016. But, like, just had some misfortune. I think he's only been favored in 3 of his 10 finals appearances, maybe 2 or 3. It's a, you know, pretty low number where I believe MJ was favored in all 6 of his finals appearances. So, like, this is one of those things that, you know, it's a barbershop conversation. It's a bar conversation with your friends about who's the GOAT, who's better, who's this, who's that. I do think that, you know, one thing, if like, for me, LeBron's the GOAT. I think he's the greatest player of all time. But if you're doing the LeBron versus Kobe thing, people on the Kobe side will bring up he's got 5 rings. LeBron has 4. So I think there's an element there of if he got that 5th ring and if he somehow got that 6th ring, then like that, like people can go to the finals record or whatever. But really that conversation shifts where for a lot of people, the rings are the trump card of if you have more rings and you're at the highest level of the game, then that's the thing that differentiates a LeBron versus a Kobe or LeBron versus a Jordan. So I'm sure on some level that there's that just like carrot of if I could get a 5th ring or a 6th ring, there's really nothing else anyone can say about who's the GOAT or, you know, they can't use that against me. But I just think it's how he's like, this guy's been a winner at all levels, high school winning state championships and then getting to the NBA and immediately having success and going to the finals at a young age and winning MVPs and stuff. Like, this is just how this dude is wired. This reason why I think he's the greatest player ever. And at least at minimum, the second best player ever. So I think it's more so like his competitive spirit, but I'm sure you can't like not think about if I had a 5th ring that puts me at the same tier as Kobe in terms of rings and one under Jordan. And I think for some people that probably would shift them from, you know, the MJ side to the LeBron side. I don't think many, but I'm sure there are a few.
Jovan Buha, of course, of Buha's Block, joining us here on 92.3 The Fan. Let me ask you, if it's not the Lakers, what team would the Lakers the most be interested in dealing a trade with to go ahead and get the compensatory pick?
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Everything else in return for LeBron.
I think that the two East teams that I referenced earlier in Cleveland and New York would make the most sense. You would be sending him to the opposite conference, so you don't have to worry about potentially facing him in the playoffs or, you know, that coming back to haunt you that you shipped out LeBron. With New York, there are a couple packages that work financially. You could do Karl-Anthony Towns straight up, or you could do some combination of like OG Anunoby, Mitchell Robinson, Deuce McBride. So you get a starting level wing, which I think the Lakers really need, you know, a defensive minded wing like an Anunoby. Then you add Mitchell Robinson to what they have. And like, you know, it's not the best packages. And then I think with Cleveland, the issue with Cleveland is just that they're second apron team. So they either have to do some sort of salary dump to get under the second apron and then do the trade with the Lakers, or they could expand it to a three team trade, but it's potentially costing you, depending on the outgoing salary. It could even cost you Jared Allen and Darius Garland, which I think is a heavy price to pay for the Cavs. So that's where I think from Cleveland's side, it might not make the most sense, other than, of course, it's LeBron and the homecoming. And I think it would be fascinating to see LeBron with Donovan Mitchell and Evan Mobley. But I think for the Lakers, like if you could get a Jared Allen type, like that's the type of center you've been looking for years. So I think those two situations, depending on the packages, would potentially make the most sense just because, again, you're sending him east. Those are two teams, you know, obviously played in Cleveland, but like New York, it's a big market. They've wanted him for 15 years, and maybe that can make some sense. But otherwise, like Dallas and Golden State, I think would be two other teams in the mix, but I just think there's a lot of risk with potentially sending him west.
That is fascinating. You talk about Darius Garland and Jared Allen. Let's go ahead and, you know, I'm going to get your ideas on this and extrapolate this out a little bit. Now, listen, this is all speculation. Just put that out there. But if you do have a Jared Allen, if you do have a Darius Garland moving west and you get LeBron, you got Donovan Mitchell, as well as Evan Mobley. We've been asking him to take a step, given the fact that they did go out and do some things. They got Lonzo Ball. Larry Nance Jr. comes in. They still got DeAndre Hunter, Max Strus, those guys. does that move the needle more than staying pat for the Cavs as constituted? Does that really move the needle, and does that put the Cavs in a place where you would say that gives them an opportunity to say, if they played a championship team like OKC in the finals, that the Cavs could, you know, obviously win a championship with LeBron coming back?
It's an interesting question. I think it really just comes down to, like, who are the outgoing pieces, right? And if it's a situation where you can dump one of the lesser guys at the end of your roster to, or a couple guys to get under that second apron, then maybe, one thing that works financially or close to works is like Jared Allen and DeAndre Hunter as the base of a LeBron trade. And if you could keep Garland and have Garland, Mitchell, LeBron, and Mobley, and then, you figure out that fit starter spot, like, that's a pretty good team. And I think for people look at age 40, about to be 41, year 23, but he was still a top 10 player last year. He was second team All-NBA, sixth in MVP voting. Like, LeBron is still an amazing player, and especially if he doesn't have to carry as much of a load with Donovan Mitchell and Evan Mobley and Darius Garland there, I think that's the best quartet in the NBA. I don't even know if it's, that there's one that's close to that. So I think they have a real shot. Obviously, the depth and the defense and some of the size would shift, and looks like they'd be playing more Evan Mobley at the five and just be a bit of a different team from an identity perspective. But if you can keep LeBron healthy and get him to the playoffs, we know about the history, we know about the track record, and him potentially winning that fifth title in Cleveland, second title for Cleveland, like, that would obviously be a storybook story. So, it's tough to say without knowing exactly all of the outgoing players, but if there was a way to minimize and make it maybe only a couple of rotation players, Jared Allen plus something else, I think they would still be right there at the top of the East and have a real shot to win a title.
Yeah, obviously you cover more than just the Lakers. You do all the NBA. Like, if I were to ask you and say, let's say Kobe Altman just keeps the whole entire thing in peace and one piece, and the core four remains, and there's not a big splash or a big trade, and Lonzo Ball is the only true addition that you have while Ty Jerome leaves, is that enough of a weaponry to go ahead and have the Cavs be NBA Finals winners? Or are you looking at them as maybe just a team that didn't get out of the second round once again?
No, I think they're much better suited, and it certainly, in my opinion, is partly circumstantial in terms of, I think their two biggest threats in the East both just suffered devastating blows. In Boston with the Tatum Achilles tear, and then gutting their roster with Porzingis and Holiday, and who knows if they're done gutting their roster. It seems like they are, but they're still right there around the second apron. And then Indiana with the Tyrese Haliburton Achilles tear, and then them now losing Miles Turner in free agency. So the Cavs already won 64 games last year. I expect them to be at worst in the high 50s, but most likely in the low 60s again. And to me, they're clearly the best team in the East. I think they're going to take their lumps from how the season ended, and they're going to, I think they got to change some things schematically. And I think the Lonzo Ball addition is huge. And he's a guy who I could see closing games depending on the lineup they want to go with. And maybe if it really gets to a point where there are some questions about Garland and Mitchell in a closing sense against certain teams, and they're able to target one or both players, then maybe you close with Lonzo. I think if you got to keep him in bubble wrap, right? You got to keep him healthy throughout the season. But if you can, I think he could be a really valuable playoff piece as a bench guard. And I think about what Sean Livingston did in Golden State in a different phase of his career. I could see Lonzo having that type of impact. Different types of players, but I could see him having that level of impact. So I still have Cleveland at the top of the East. I think, again, they're going to win 60 plus games, and they should at least make the conference finals, if not more. Obviously, New York and Orlando, I think, are the other two big competitors, but I would pick Cleveland head-to-head over either one of those teams.
You look at the new, the new collective bargaining, and we talk about the second tier and apron and things like that. You see a lot of teams selling, a lot of teams' ownership. We talk about the Lakers and the Celtics, and it just seems crazy. The Celtics were just the big bad wolves just a year ago. They have one injury to Jason Tatum. Now, Porzingis is gone. You lose Drew Holiday, Derek White. People are talking about him being on the trade block. Is this the intended consequence? Is this what the owners wanted when they signed this deal? Because it just seems like teams have 1 or 2 years to really go for it and get it done before you have to start thinking about the ramifications of being in the second apron. Do you think this is the way they envisioned it?
I think it's been a little bit more extreme than they envisioned it. I do think that they wanted to increase the parity around the league. I think they wanted to even the playing field, give smaller and mid-market teams better opportunities to compete with. Just looking at even the last, 10, 15 years of the league, it was very heavy of the Miamis, the Golden States, the Boston winning, and the Lakers. And there's, of course, been exceptions with Cleveland and Milwaukee. And I guess Toronto is a big market overall, but by, I guess, NBA standards, because it's in Canada, maybe it's not viewed that way. So I think like they've wanted to kind of shift it more toward the NFL model. That's something that Adam Silver has referenced multiple times, is wanting to be more like the NFL and having that parity and having that optionality to any team can win on any given year. I do think there was something like novel and fun about OKC in Indiana. Like, no one had that on their bingo card. I think OKC, of course, was the favorite going into the season, but like no one had Indiana making the finals, I think even going into the playoffs, let alone like at any point during the regular season. So that was fun. That I think it was a fun finals. And if Haliburton doesn't go down in that first quarter, I think Indiana had a real shot to win, and that would have been a really fun game seven. So I think the season, like, I think the NBA is in a much better spot than people talk about it, but the owners created this. The owners wanted this, and I think it's had some unintended consequences where now you have a Milwaukee stretching Dame Lillard and eating $23 million a year for the next 5 years, which is just absolutely insane. So I think there's been some unintended consequences that they did not foresee, and it's going to be interesting to see how they navigate this moving forward and potentially try to make some changes to the CBA.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Check him out at Buha's Block. Jovan Buha, we appreciate the time and the insight, and we'll catch up with you later. Thank you so much.
Appreciate you guys for having me on.
All right, good stuff right there with Jovan, and we'll react to a little bit of what he had to say, especially with LeBron. Does it matter where LeBron goes if it's not the Cavs? 216-474-0092. Chi Bush, Jonathan Peterlin with you guys right here, Afternoon Drive on The Fan. I do think this is LeBron's way of trying to get them to do more. And the Lakers getting DeAndre Ayton yesterday is part of that. I think they still have to do more, but it is one of the first times, if not the first time we've seen in LeBron's career, where the team that he's trying to hold hostage can say, okay, I don't care about you anymore.
Yeah, I think he's for the first time he's on the other end of the spectrum. Even when it was Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade, it was Dwayne Wade's team because he was Wade County, like he was the organization. He had won a championship prior to LeBron getting there, but Dwayne Wade always defaulted to saying LeBron's the best player in the game. He's he's just a better. I'll take a back seat. I think for the first time he's actually feeling what it feels like to not be in the inside crew, not to be the guy, not to be, all right, we got to figure out, everything is running through LeBron and figuring out what we want to do. And on top of that, the buses who own the team, they've sold the team. There's a new general. There's a new feeling in town.
Which I maintain he doesn't have to have as much loyalty now. Because, right, like, he did everything for Genie, and now Genie's out the door. So you don't really owe the Lakers that much.
Right. So now
Lakers also don't owe you anything anymore either.
I think both sides are like, okay, it was cool. I was last year. You did bring us our championship. It is what it is. But we got Luka now, and we're going to build around him. So we're going to ask him the stuff. So I think he is in a little bit of a position where he's like, man, this is kind of weird a little bit.
Yeah. Now, Jovan brought up the idea of the Knicks. And the Knicks was the one team that I was just like, it's just a flat, I'm going to get angry. Like, if he ends up going to the Knicks, I'm going to get mad. And I'm already starting to get mad at the Cavs. And we'll get Kurt Heelan on in about 20 minutes or so. He had the report yesterday that said the Cavs weren't interested in LeBron James. Whether that's true, whether that's not true, we'll get more insight from Kurt. Mm-hmm. But if that's the case as of right now, I get a little, like, my blood's boiling a little bit in thinking about that, especially if he ends up with a team like the Knicks. Now, I do think there's something nice for LeBron's legacy that I hadn't considered, okay? I for a while, thought you can't have that many jerseys on the Basketball Reference page. It's just not a good look. But I almost wonder if he can spin it. You know how Peyton Manning, what is the biggest legacy with Peyton Manning? It's 4 Super Bowl appearances, but that's with 4 different head coaches. Mm-hmm. People are like, wow, you can do it with 4 different head coaches? That's a something. I almost wonder if LeBron, if he went to the Knicks and won a title, if people would look at it like, whoa, 4 different franchises? 5 right. titles, but 4 different franchises?
Yeah,
you could
yeah.
literally put him on any team. Like, because the thing Jordan yeah. doesn't have right now, G. Bush, is that Jordan, he did it all with one team.
Right.
He did it also with the greatest head coach to ever exist, in my opinion, in Phil Jackson, and he did it with the same Rodman the entire stretch of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they changed out different pieces. You had Rodman in the back three, and you had a different setup, obviously, in the first three, you know, Paxson, some of those guys. But, like, all right, great. You change out Bill Wennington and Luke Longley and make that a difference. That's not really, you're not really changing the right. game. LeBron found the recipe, kept making the same recipe, and it kept working over and over again. I think what LeBron, if he went to a team like the Knicks, as mad as I'd be, I think in the GOAT conversation or the big picture conversation, I think the idea that he showed that he could do it with any team, any roster, any situation would be a lasting legacy.
I mean, you win a champ. No one. You win a championship as the guy in what he's done it in, what, 4 cities?
It'd be 4 different teams, yeah.
Four different cities. That's spectacular. Not to mention he's done it for storied franchises. Like, he won it for the Lakers. He won for the Miami Heat. If you win one in New York with the Knicks. And my thing is, when he mentioned that package, if you're telling me that you would trade LeBron straight up for Karl Anthony Towns, you wouldn't do that?
I like Cat, but obviously you'd trade LeBron for Cat if that's the going rate. I mean, don't even think it would be that, though. I think it'd start with, like, Mikal Bridges, and then you work your way downward.
Yeah, and he said OG Anunoby and maybe some other things, but, I mean, there's infrastructure.
But think
there.
About it, though. Think about it. Like, we talk about the Knicks pieces and what they would send over, and then we bring up the Cavs pieces and what we would send over. If it's Darius Garland, Jared Allen, and then either one of DeAndre Hunter or Max Strus, are we letting that stand in our way? Because I'm
No. He threw out a package of Jared Allen and DeAndre Hunter and some other guys at the bottom of the roster would have to move before they can even make the move because they're in the second apron. But if it's DeAndre Hunter and Jared Allen, I'm like, all right, then I'll talk to y'all later. y'all good? I will pack their bags up.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about it. And he says there, And I thought that was one of the best sound bites. He says, you put those four guys together, and you got Evan Mobley, you got LeBron James, Darius Garland, Donovan Mitchell. He said, that's the best four players in the game. That's the best four.
I mean, it's not even close.
It's not even. So
That's a real core four. We stretched out the core four a little bit, not like Jared Allen, but that's a real core four.
And if you still got Lonzo Ball that you got, and you got Larry Nance Jr., and you still got Max Strus and some of the other guys, I mean,
but I don't even need to get all greedy Williams on anyone here. I really don't. I don't need Darius to be involved in this in order for it to be a yes or a no.
Yeah.
If Darius is part of the package, then Darius is part of the package.
It is what it is. I've looked at it, and here's the thing. I get the thing being people telling me I'm the Darius Garland hater in the city. I'm not a Darius Garland hater. I'm just giving you the math. Darius Garland is a smaller guard. He's a very, very good player. He is. He's not Kyrie Irving. Not Kyrie.
Right.
He's a very good player. Does he get picked on defense? Yes. Is he?
Yeah, I mean, dead bodies move around him when he's playing defense.
Yeah. Is he? People say,
does he get injured often? Yes. Yes, he does.
Yes. You know, does his maturity, is that brought into the in question sometimes? Sure. But he's a very good player. But if it takes getting LeBron James, the thing that the Cavs are missing is the exact thing LeBron James brings. Pressure. Mm-hmm. And the willingness to be like, hey, this is how we're going to make this work.
And then
toughness.
Gee, I look at it like there's certain ways that you can push all the chips in the middle of the table and you'd be like, man, I'm out and busted. And boy, was that, you look back on it, you're like, that was a dumb bet, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was a dumb bet. It was a dumb decision. There's not a world Kobe Altman can look at this thing. If he makes the bet being LeBron James, where he looks back at it and says, boy, did I mess up there betting on LeBron. No one's ever made a bad bet betting on LeBron.
And by the way, the way the second apron is looking, are you going to be able to keep this roster together that much longer anyway?
No. I mean, that's the thing we've been talking a lot about, is the idea that in the NBA, you got these one or two two-year windows to work with, and that's really all you got. Like, everyone wants to plan out these teams for 5, 6, 7 years down the road. You just don't have that much time.
You don't. So if I'm going to say I'm betting on, are you going to bet on Evan Mobley, Donovan Mitchell, and LeBron James? Yes.
That's a winning bet.
That's a winning bet.
And even if you don't end up winning, and let's say some injury happens or something, or LeBron has father time beat him for the first time in forever, there's nobody that would look at it and say, boy, gee, I mean, Kobe Altman, what a sucker he was. What an idiot he was bringing LeBron back into the mix.
Boy, I tell you what, I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers really liked the fact that they were like, yeah, that Tom Brady guy? Yeah, I know he wants Gronk on the team. Don't worry about it. You're gonna take Tom Brady on the roster, and they got a ring, and they were like, "We'll pivot, we'll figure it out after that." But right now, we're gonna take Tom Brady.
I mean, like from a perception standpoint, which is what a lot of these GMs and president of basketball operations, this is what they care about. This is almost like a free roll of sorts. This is the bonus bet of trades because no one's gonna judge you.
And by the way, people get in their feelings too much. I don't know where the sentiment that we don't want LeBron or LeBron, he's not worth it. We want to win it on our own. You guys are crazy. Do you want to work for 40 years to earn $1 million or get a lottery ticket?
Yeah, I take the lottery
ticket. Give me the lottery ticket. No one's going to be looking at you like,
why, hey, as if it's worth more because why? Because it was harder to obtain?
Yeah, we really grinded it out without LeBron. No, I want to win under any circumstances.
I would have gladly taken being a Nepo baby in life or being a trust fund kid. I wasn't given those opportunities. Man. But you tell me I get to rewrite history and I get to be a trust fund kid, I'd take that. Why not?
Listen, man.
Life sounds pretty good there.
I
can still work hard on my own. I can still accomplish things, but yeah, why not?
I never got that whole thing. Now, here's the elephant in the room. How does Dan Gilbert look at this? Dan Gilbert, according to Jason Lloyd, I talk to him all the time. Mm-hmm. More than anything, Dan Gilbert wants to win a championship without LeBron James. Now, I can understand it for his legacy, so to speak, but I mean,
you got to get over it if that's
the
case.
It's easy to say, yeah, we don't want you now until like it's verified and you get that phone call like, hey, yeah. So you serious? LeBron want to come back?
I mean, if you're not considering it, enjoy your Cavalanche $500,000 machine that just puts out snow into the stands. Right. And what are we doing here? What are we doing?
I do think when it's presented to you, that's when the wheels start working, and all of a sudden, that little math that was hard to do, yeah, that's why we got accountants and financial guys that go to Harvard.
Yeah,
they'll figure it out.
They'll figure it out. Let's find out just how serious Dan Gilbert is when it comes to what G. Bush was just talking about right there. He wants to win on his own. Kurt Heelan had the report yesterday. Cavs not that interested. He writes for NBC Sports. He'll join us next. It's Afternoon Drive right here on The Fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.